Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the kingdom of God, and that's what Jesus came to reestablish and restore and in his people. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent means change your mind towards this kingdom. Repent is a biblical word. Change your mind towards this kingdom, towards God. This kingdom is a whole nother way to live. In other words, it's not what you think it is. It's what I'm bringing to you. And that's the whole idea. I'm going to help you understand this kingdom. Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was very religious and a scribe, he said, "You need to be born again so you can see the kingdom." The word "see" means to understand, to understand. So you have to be born again to understand the kingdom of God. It starts with you having a new birth. And that means you're just born again. When you repent of your sins, you ask Jesus to come in. And the Holy Spirit, and you experience new birth when you repent and mean it and ask him to come in. And that now it talks about in 1 Corinthians 2, somewhere around 14, 15, or 16. You can look it up later. It says you can't even understand the things of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit. So we have to have the Holy Spirit to help us understand this kingdom because it's a spiritual kingdom. You see, that's the whole idea that we're trying to understand here on earth what's something we can't see in heaven. And so that's it. And God has created us. He's created us for good works, which he prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. And those good works have to be done on earth and in heaven. Part of it we can't see, but the earth part we can see. So we got to learn to operate and function in both realms. And that's what God is helping us with. Well, let's get started. Let's go to Matthew 19 through 20. And we're going to read this together and get started on this. Okay, after we read the vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
All right.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Now, did you hear teaching? That's what we really believe in, teaching. You know, it's just important that, you know, we help people and we grow. And the Holy Spirit's the teacher. But we bring the word and we help people, we teach. Because teaching instructs us. Inside, we need structure on the inside, and preaching inspires us. We need to be inspired, so it's important. But he said, "All authority has been given to him." Who? Jesus, right? So all authority is given to him. So the kingdom, if there's no king, there's no authority. There's no government. So if Jesus is king, then there's his kingdom is where he is. That's what I'm trying to help you understand. Is I see the church and I see things going on, but I feel like a lot of people don't realize that they have a king. And when you have a king, in Judges, it says all of Israel did everything that was right in their own eyes because they had no king. In the last verse of Judges, they had no king. But you see, when we have a king, we're going to do what he's asking us and his will. Oh, I got something going on in me. So, you all right? His will is what's in his mind and his desires. You see that? That's the way we were created. We were created to listen to God and be in relationship with God and to hear his will and act on his will. Now, you paying attention? So think about what I'm saying. Before Adam and before the garden and in the garden, before Adam and Eve, they didn't have any written word. There was no written word. Before Abraham, there was no written word. They had to do what he said. Are we making sense? Yep. Now think about this. Think about this. The covenant people had no written word until Moses went to Mount Sinai and got the law written in stone. When it was written in stone, you know what the written in stone means? Statutes. That's why David said, teach me your statutes. Statutes are laws. So when you see the word statute, you can put the word law there. Synonymous. Teach me your statutes, your laws. Statutes were written in stone and they couldn't be changed. Storms would be going on. All kinds of things happen in the environment, all kinds of things around you, established right there, never changing. And that's the way God's will is. And that's the way his word is. He wants it in you, and it never changes. When he says something, it's not going to be changed. You see that? You can't change it. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Now pay attention. Pay attention. In the New Testament, the word law is two words. Nomos. Nomos means decreed, established, written. So that's what our Bible is. Our Bible is a decree, established, and written. The other word for the word law is ethos. Ethos. And that word, ethos. Now listen. And that means that was for what wasn't written. You see that? That's what we had before the law. That's what Adam and Eve had when they showed up. That's what we were designed for. Ethos. God never created us to depend on to have to read to live life. He created us to listen to him and what he's saying. And Jeremiah said, I will write my law. I will put my law in their mind and write my law in their heart. You see that? So now, think about this. The word ethos is the word custom. Custom. So it was customary for Adam and Eve not to hate, not to lie. It was customary for them to forgive. You see that? Amen. It was customary for them to be kind and to love their enemies. Amen. That was the customary design of you. You see that? But it didn't have to be written. We need the written word now. Because we have gotten so far away from what he's designed us to be. Amen. Thank Am I making sense? And this is why we need laws to govern us. You see that? And his word to govern our behavior, because we need restraints. You see that? We need restraints on our lives spiritually. And when we understand this, and the king, what the king says, it's over with. You see that? That's why when you get his word on it, you can hold him to it. And he can't go back on his word. Isn't that amazing? When he says something to you, I'll say, well, you know, gets a little rough financially. Lord, you said you've never seen your seed begging bread. Well, what's going on, Lord? Okay. Something happened and a check comes in the mail. Are you listening to me? Yes. I'm just trying to help you see something. God is our provider. Amen. And he's dependent on his relationship. He wants you dependent on your relationship with him. Am I making sense? And your relationship with people. He deposited something in you that only other people can bring out.
Amen.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. This is important. So, we've been establishing the idea of this king. Where there's no king, there's no kingdom. So, one of the characteristics of a king embodies the government of the kingdom, of its kingdom. This means wherever a king is, the entire government is present. Wherever a king speaks, his whole government is speaking. Whenever a king moves, the government moves with him, because he embodies the government. The king is the government. Did you catch that? Have I got your attention today? This is significant. Now I'm going to try to put it a little bit on earth here, okay? This is simple. We can understand this. When President Trump travels abroad, the authority of the United States government travels with him, because he represents the government and the people. The government itself, however, does not travel with him. It remains in the place and functions in Washington. The government of a king, listen, on the other hand, is wherever the king is. Did you catch that?
Yes.
It's a little bit different with the president. A king and his government are inseparable. This is how we can know that the kingdom of heaven is on earth. The kingdom is here because the king is here.
Amen.
Talks about in John 8 or Matthew 18, if any two of you agree here on earth, he said, I will be in your midst. Are you listening to me? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Did you catch that? Now that's significant. Because in my name. Did you hear that? That name has got to be, that's where the authority is in that name. And we have to understand, as the body of Christ and the church, that the name of Jesus is where the authority is. But we have to understand about living and being in the name. The kingdom of heaven is here because the King of heaven is here in the hearts and lives of his citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven, right?
Amen.
We eagerly wait for his return.
Yeah.
Now look, the king's present when his authority is present. The king's present when his authority is present. When a king shows up, his full authority is present. When a king shows up, his full authority is present. His authority does not reside in a place or in a document. It resides in him personally. Personally. This is why citizens of the kingdom on earth can act with kingdom and kingly authority.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Because the king is present, the authority is present also. Okay, give me John 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, isn't that something? He's talking about his name. Isn't that something how, you know, the last group that was up in Washington, they didn't want you praying in Jesus' name. You didn't ever hear Jesus. Did you hear me? They never, whenever they said anything, they talk about God. They never said anything about Jesus' name. I don't recall them ever even praying, to be honest with you. But am I making sense? Because, see, there's power in that name. There's power in the name. And that name seals the deal on who the king is. Oh, are you listening to me today?
Yeah.
Now watch this. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Give me the next one. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Did you catch that? Now, you know what? He's not saying, I want me a new Mercedes Benz.
Right.
You got to do it in his name.
Right.
You see that? If you've passed all the tests to afford this Mercedes Benz, it might show up. Huh? I love that laugh, man. I'm glad you're in church today. That's good. Now let's think about this. A king can delegate authority to anyone he pleases to act in his name or on his behalf. A king's letter is a royal etiquette. Okay, now think about this. And it bears the official seal that authorizes the bearer to act on his authority. Now think about this. Anyone to whom the king's letter is presented must treat the bearer, the one who bears the letter, as if he were the king himself. That's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was grieved over what happened in Jerusalem, of its ruins and being destroyed. And so the king got word of that, and he got a hold of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, and Nehemiah wanted to rebuild the city. So you know what the king did? He gave him letters to get all the materials and all the goods and all these different providences where other governments were. And so Nehemiah went to them, and it was like the king was showing up to them, and they had to give it to him
right, to
rebuild Jerusalem.
Right.
Did you catch what I just said? That's significant. Read it in first six chapters of Nehemiah. I'm not going to go into all of it. Now, when the king learned of Nehemiah's desires, he granted him permission. That's significant. Permission to go. Now watch this. The citizens of a kingdom have the same privileges. Jesus has issued king's letters to all his people. You hear me? That's called the Bible. The Nomos. Written. You know why it's written? Because if you go to court and you try to have a trial, if you say, well, they said so. Well, do you have it in writing? Oh, that doesn't matter. See, when it's in writing, it's called a testament. That's a legal term, a testament. That's why the devil is always accusing you here on earth. Because there's a court, the courtroom of heaven is in session. You see that? And he will use, if you're out of line and you don't understand what the king has said, he'll use your ignorance against you and accuse you and defeat you and cause you to be guilty and ashamed when you have no business being that way.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said?
Amen.
And that's why we have to understand how to operate in this and our king and what he has for us. Now pay attention. This is huge. This is why the New Testament says the kingdom citizens can pray in the name of Jesus. This is why he promised to do anything that they asked in his name. His name can operate in his authority. Power of all our prayers comes from God himself, the king. Now listen, but now here, get a hold of this. Spirits recognize when you have authority and power. Spirits recognize when you are under a king and who your king is. Did you hear what I just said? Spirits recognize that. So now think about this. Power is the ability to act. Power is the ability to act. You still with me? So I can have the ability to act, but I need more than just ability. You paying attention? I need more than just power, the ability to act. I need authority. Authority is the permission to act. Did you catch that? But now wait. But you don't get permission until there's submission. There's no permission without submission. Submission means I'm under his mission. That's why it says in James 4:7, submit to God and resist the devil. See, when you submit to God, you're under his mission. What happens? You resist the devil. The devil, the word resist means frustrate. You frustrate the devil when you're under God's submission.
Amen.
He's running around like a scalded dog.
Come on.
Are you listening to me?
Amen, Pastor.
Submit to God and resist the devil,
right,
and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Hmm.
Blah, blah, blah.
Then he says, purify your hearts, you sinners. Your hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Your hands represent your will. Your will. Remember? Your will. You got to get your will lined up with his will. When your will is in alignment with him, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Are you listening to me? Now you are in some authority when you're there. Hmm?
Amen.
And God's going to give you permission for the mission. Still with me? Now, just because I'm able does not mean I'm authorized. So you have to be authorized with authority. This is how it works. When I humble myself, the word humble in the Hebrew language means earthy. Original, organic. So if I want to become my original self, I have to become, go down to earth. It means down to earth. When you humble yourself, you're down to earth. So I go to God because he's my creator. And now I want to become the original who he created me to be. So I go to God and I talk to him. Now I'm becoming, because I'm humble, I'm becoming organic, and now I'm going to the author. He's the author and finisher of our faith. I'm humble, I'm going to the author. So when I go to the author, now he authorizes me and gives me authority. Did you catch that? Now I have authority. But you see, if you don't go to him, then you're not going to have the authority. Still making sense? Now, I thought that was pretty good. This is significant, guys. Give me Acts 19:11 real quick. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Isn't that amazing? Notice the word hands. Remember, will. Hands represent your will. You see that? So Paul's will was lined up with God. Now pay attention. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Give me the next one. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Huh. Now, give me the next one. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord. On the call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, if anyone prays in my name, I'm going to be there in a minute. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it.
Amen.
Remember? Amen. We just read it. Still paying attention? Now look. These Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Now look. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. Now, why did he know Jesus? Because he was shaking in his boots about what had happened in the past with other people. Jesus, I know, he'd already had some run-ins with him. And Paul, I know, but who are you? Who do you think you are? Your little wimp self. That's what he's saying. The spirit's talking now, the evil spirit. Well, let's look. Give me this next one. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? Now, think about this. What happened was, evil spirits jumped on him and kicked their butt all the way down the street. And the Jewish exorcists, the warlocks and the witches and all, threw their books away, and the word of God increased and prevailed. They got rid of their mess, and they started going with God.
Amen.
Because of what they saw in the name of Jesus through Paul. Did you catch what I just said? I said, did you get what I just said? You got the same thing.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.